Well, welcome to chapel. My name is Scott Bosnecker. I work with Global Projects, and we're going to hear this morning from Terry Morrison. I always like hearing from you, Terry. Terry was Link Director for a period of time in the 80s. In fact, the Americans didn't have a hugely positive reputation in the IFES until after Terry was around, actually. You got people like Bob Grauman and Fred Bailey planted with the IFES, and getting really quality people out there turned their opinion. Now IFES, Becky Steven is sort of receiving the fruit of a lot of Terry's work because she has more requests from the IFES to send Americans than she can fulfill, and that wasn't always true. So Terry's had this long and prestigious history, and I don't know if you guys were around for his C.S. Lewis talk, but that was just amazing. In fact, we got it podcasted, and I see Gordon set up here, not knowing exactly what we're going to hear with Mind Your Minds, but figuring it's going to be worth podcasting. And do you think my comments, too, will be podcast from my intro? Well, I think I'd just like to say, for the woman who rear-ended the 98th Villager, if you could get in touch with me at sbesenecker@ivcf.org, I'd greatly appreciate it. So, hi to my kids. So, welcome, will you, Terry Morrison.
Boy, that's really heads up, Scott. The phones are ringing already. There were half dozen of those ladies, probably. Well, Mind Our Minds. I don't know if you've been on the London Underground, but when you go, that's the subway system in London, it always says, mind your step, which means pay attention to the distance between the platform and the car. Mind. Or if you're going to a pub,
mind the gap.
Mind the gap, right, mind the step. If you're going to a pub down in a basement level, it says, mind your head. So it's a very convenient way to say, pay attention or you're going to suffer the consequences. So I want to talk about paying attention to our minds. I'm actually taking the place of a chapter builder who was supposed to be the speaker, and she was needed down in on the park to carry that out. So it made me think about chapter building, which is what we're all about. And so I want to start with asking the question rhetorically. I'll answer it. Building chapters of what? For what purpose? Well, we're building chapters of students and professors, faculty, right? What do those two names suggest? Supposed to suggest people who use their minds, who are very serious about their minds, who work to make their minds work, right? They don't last. The system is set up to weed out those whose minds don't work or who don't work their minds. For what purposes? What do we do? Well, we have a set of core commitments that you can find on the web if you haven't already memorized them. I'm sure many of you have memorized them, but for those who haven't, let me just pick out the ones on the core commitments that describe formation. There are six of them, I think. First one is scripture, then prayer, spiritual formation, community, discipleship of the mind, leadership development. Scripture says we encounter the living God through Scripture and are transformed by the Holy Spirit to study, teach, and obey His Word. Study, teach, obey. They all involve our minds. Prayer. We express our faith, love, and dependence on God through lives of prayer and worship. How can you worship God if you don't know Him? Which involves your mind. Spiritual formation. We cultivate intimacy with God and growth in Christ-like character through personal and group spiritual disciplines empowered by the Spirit. Cultivate intimacy with God and growth in Christ. How can you do that if you don't employ your mind? I'm not making a contrast between mind and feeling, because feelings grow out of the mind, don't they? And so the next one, community, relationships, redemptive communities, obviously the same. The next one, discipleship of the mind. Remember that? We engage in learning and thoughtful biblical reflection in every area of life. We just came from a week of faculty camp where, if I recall, the title that the speaker was given is something like Developing Theological Acuity in Your Academic Profession. You think about that a lot, right? And we worried a bit about acuity, but we dumped that word. And basically what he talked about was how to make every part of his life professionally fluid with the scriptures, with what God intends, what Christ has given us in modeling and in revelation. It was a marvelous thing. He talked about the two books of God's revelation, the book of creation or nature, and the book of scripture. He talked about how all this has to cohere with all of our activities. And he gave many stories about how the Word of God infiltrated everything he taught, his research, his political activity, some courageous activities he did against injustice, etc. All because he was flooded in with the Scriptures, because he gave his mind to knowing the Scriptures. He took every Saturday for a year sabbatical and spent the whole day studying Scripture to see what it had to say about creation. Loving the Lord with your mind. The last one is leadership development, and you can guess just how significant a Christian mind is in that activity. Then, if you go a little further on the web, it goes down to some specifics about our vision. And one of them is our passions, and one of those is our passions as a witnessing community. And it says, we seek a redemptive presence within the college world. Well, I don't know what your experience is, but you are a very poor testimony to Christ if you're failing a class that you ought to be able to pass, right? That the professor is not impressed with your testimony that you're a Christian if you don't use your mind in the work. So if you're going to be significant for Christ in a college atmosphere, you have to be a student. You have to love the Lord with your mind in that calling. Then further down, there's one called Following Jesus. And it says, we want to equip people for a life of service and mission in the church and the world. Well, if you're going to be of service in the world, you've got to know the languages of the world. And you're not born with the languages in most cases where you're going. You have to work to get them. So the point I'm making is that our minds have this absolutely central role in all of the callings we profess to be receiving and responding to and obeying. And I phrased the title, Mind Our Minds, to mean not only how we care about our minds, but our stewardship of the minds that InterVarsity is engaged with. How are we doing that? I think these commitments and our passions all testify that we see ourselves as being committed to the discipleship of the mind. Ourselves as disciples and our work in InterVarsity, whether it's overseas or here, as letting God be God of our minds and serving Him through the use of our minds. It means being disciples. And you remember that in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul has this set of descriptions about what some call the judgment seat of Christ or standing before the Lord, and when he's going to ask you this question, what did you do with what I gave you? That is, how did you exercise stewardship of all the gifts I gave you? Life, health, freedoms for us here in the U.S., the gospel, etc., etc. And obviously one of his great gifts is our minds. And he's going to ask us, how did you love me with your minds? And you remember the end of that story? Some people are going to get through that judgment time with great rewards. And some people are going to get through, it says in the King James, though as by smoke or fire. That is, they will get through themselves, but all of their life's accomplishments will be burned up in the judgment, in that picture. So it's a serious thing to be loving God with your mind. And I thought I would ask the question, so how do we love the Lord with our minds? How do we mind our minds? And I've got several scriptures I would like to share with you that you can look at later if you're interested. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. In fact, there's this Greek word, some derivative of phroneo, which occurs all the way through Paul's writings, which some translators make into mindset. How have you set your mind? One of the things we worry about raising teenagers in today's culture is if they're deeply engaged with television and other media and the journalism that they're confronted with, their minds become filled with images and motivations and drives which are counter to Christ's values? How do we get a Christian mindset into them? What Paul is saying is, you have control. You are responsible. You are able to set your minds on things above. So it's that kind of conscious involvement. Since you've been raised with Christ, since you're a new person, you've been possessed by God and made new, born again, set your heart, set your minds. That's Hebrew parallelism. It's not two different things, same thing. Set the core of your being, directed by your mind, on things above. Now, you don't want to have, as they say, such a heavenly mind that you're no earthly good, obviously. And you can't say that about Paul at all, right? He was probably a very good tent maker, as well as all the other things he accomplished. So it doesn't mean you don't live on the plane of ordinary daily life or culture, but it means your mind, the center part of your being, is directed to the things above, the things where God is, the character of Christ. So that's, I think, the center part. Then the lawyer came to Jesus, you remember, and said, summarize the commandments, or what are the greatest commandments? And Jesus went back in Deuteronomy and Leviticus and said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love God with your mind? What kind of stewardship do you exercise with your mind? And for InterVarsity as a whole, how do we help all the constituency we're called to serve love God with their minds? That's why I titled Mind Our Minds. It's what we should be active about and considering all the time. Then Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Holy Spirit's action as he applies the word, the lives of other believers, the models that we get that can inspire us to live better. Be renewed in your mind. You have to get new minds constantly. That's why we encourage students and others to be regularly in the Word of God. Have the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit to renew your mind. There's an interesting sort of not direct reference to this I found the other day in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, 1 through 3. Again, I'm not sure that Peter is directly thinking about what I've been talking about, but it shows up. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. To stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Well, if you read through what he's talking about in both letters, it's about how to live the victorious Christian life as a church and as members of a church. And it's how to deal with false teachers, how to deal with pressures that oppose the Christian life, etc., etc. All these struggles that, of course, the church is always seeing. And he says, I've written these things to stimulate you to wholesome or healthy or life-giving thinking. The leadership of a local church should be constantly thinking and praying about how God wants to shape them into more effective units. And we in InterVarsity, all of us, not just the leaders, not just Jim Lundgren, we should be thinking about how does God want to use us to think wholesomely. Then the next verse says, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Well, it was probably not in written form, or at least not much of it was in written form. We know that Paul's letters were circulating when this letter was written. Quite possibly collections of sayings of Jesus. We don't really know, but there's some evidence that there were collections of things that Jesus said that circulated by different authors at different times. Call to mind. Bring back into your minds. Work to get back so you can reflect on those words. And of course, they were much more oral, an oral culture than we. So they probably remembered things much better. Usually it goes in one ear, not the other with me, but they were much better at this. So work to bring back into your minds and then reflect upon all these things you've been told about how to be like Christ. Third verse. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come and so forth. Again, this reflection. But to live a healthy, whole Christian life, you've got to mind your mind. You have to think about how to think appropriately about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And lastly, this beautiful, I mean the last reference I'm going to give, this beautiful line in Philippians, the fourth chapter. Remember that in verse 8 where Paul tells them what to think about? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In chemistry, there's a reaction called the displacement reaction, where you have AB plus CD, and CD and AB exchange places, and out the other end you get AD and BC, or some combination like that. You displace, remember that from freshman chemistry? You displace one thing with another. That's what Paul is saying. Be sure you put your mind on the things that are, and then this wonderful list. Now, he's not saying only read the Bible. This is a Greco-Roman culture. In fact, this is a premier Roman colony in Philippi. They were deeply engaged in all of the cultural values that flooded through the Greco-Roman, the Roman Empire at that time. So he's saying, whatever in the culture fits this description, noble, true, pure, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. In other words, supervise what you think about. I won't sing my little song, but I usually used to sing a song about being careful what your eyes and ears see, but Shirley's heard it so often. I won't bother you with it, but I think that's the point that okay, I don't remember the tune well. It's be careful little eyes what you see. Remember that? Be careful little ears what you hear. For the Father up above, looking down, tender love says, be careful little eyes what you see. And it goes on. Well, that's great theology for 8, 9, 10 year olds, right? And 30, 40, 50 year olds. That's what Paul is saying. Displace things that are not going to take you into Christ's presence with things that are. And that, to me, means Mozart, Bach, Brahms, maybe Benny Goodman. I won't go much more recent than that. But you know what those things are, and the Spirit will lead you to them. So minding your minds means that, too. So be practical. What should we do in minding our minds and minding InterVarsity's minds? Well, the first thing I would say is mind what your mind is set on. You might want to take a tablet and take a half hour of peace and think about what you've been thinking about the past week. What kinds of things have gone through your mind? Now, we all have to think about going to the bathroom, eating, what are we going to wear? Okay, there's a chunk of time. And then there's a whole big chunk of time after that. What kind of stuff has been going through our minds? What do we tend to come back to? What's the default position of our mind, etc.? And I think that little exercise would be very good to think about. And I find that often I have to jerk my mind back from where it's going to put it on something good. I sort of lose attention. And the next thing, a couple seconds later, I wake up and I think what I've been thinking about, and I don't want to go there, so I have to jerk it back and put it into somewhere else. You have that control. You don't have to go where the ideas lead you. You're the boss. Mind what your mind is set on. Secondly, pray for the minds on campus. I wish we all could pray that students would testify to the Lord by working hard at their coursework and taking it seriously and learning to enjoy the content. And that students planning the life of the InterVarsity group on campus would think carefully, et cetera, et cetera. Same for faculty. Next, encourage good thinking everywhere. I don't know if you thought about writing op-ed articles for the newspaper, but you certainly can write letters to the newspaper. There's a lot of junk in newspapers, but there's a lot of things Christians can say quite simply in a short letter to call attention to the junk and the bad thinking that's involved, particularly when we get into the political campaigns, right? There's places where justice and love could be expressed in a letter to the editor to correct some trash that's been in the newspaper before that. And your neighbors and your family. We engage in bad thinking, and I would say we can encourage good thinking and discourage bad thinking. The last suggestion I have, and this is, I have a fair amount of empirical research. I have asked seminary professors, I've asked pastors, I've asked parishioners about the frequency with which a sermon is given on loving the Lord with your mind. They usually come up with goose eggs. No one can remember the last time they heard a sermon on that. So my campaign is to encourage pastors, teachers, what have you, to face that issue and to challenge each other with the question, how are we succeeding at loving the Lord with our mind? InterVarsity's reputation down through most of its history has been a group of people who were serious about how the mind was used to glorify God. May we continue that reputation, and may we lead ourselves by minding our minds. Can I close in a brief prayer? Father, we're grateful that you've given us this ability. We don't know exactly what being made in your image is, but I suspect this is part of it. And we want to be good stewards of this gift of being able to learn and reason and serve you with the product of our minds. So help us individually, help us to help InterVarsity to be minding our minds for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom. I pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.